Well, thanks very much, Ben, for a very warm introduction. Can I acknowledge that we're meeting on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal people? Dharan Nuna, Dharan Ngunnawal, Yungu, Nanamanyan, Dunimanyan, Ngunnawal Wadi, Dara Wadi, Bindi, Wangaralin, Jinyan. I want to welcome all First Nations people present and all people who are visiting Canberra for the Australian Government Data Summit. I want to recognise also Gail Milne, the Australian Information Commissioner, who you'll be hearing from very shortly. I'm delighted to join you today in the 10th year of the annual Australian Government Data Summit, particularly given that robust, rigorous data and statistics are vital to delivering for all Australians. And throughout Australia's history, Australian statisticians and statistical agents have punched above their weight, or should I say, found themselves in the right tail of the distribution. The nation's first statistician, George Nibbs, known to his friends as the Nib, published papers on mathematics, geodesy, wealth and population. He was an acting professor of physics at the University of Sydney. He published a book on the federal capital and was a member of the British Astronomical Society. The Nib even wrote a book of verse. George Nibbs must have been intimidating to many. But as one biographer notes, he had a reputed charm of manner and unvarying kindness of heart. He would talk in a high-pitched voice about his wide-ranging interests, prompting one observer to note that an hour's conversation with him is a paralysing revelation. Whether that's a compliment or an insult is hard to tell, but regardless, you'll be glad to know I don't intend to regale you for an hour with statistics. No paralysing revelations from me today. Instead, my focus today is on the surprising and important ways that artificial intelligence and big data are being used in government. Then, in the spirit of the Nibbs verse writing, I'll finish with a small data crunching exercise of my own. Modern statisticians are using analytical tools and data collection methods that the Nib could hardly have imagined. The Australian Bureau of Statistics is living and breathing the big data and artificial intelligence revolution. ABS analysts are at the forefront of methodological innovation, helping to improve our understanding of the Australian economy and labour market. Take the example of the ABS using generative AI to help update the Australian and New Zealand standard classification of occupations. ANSCO is a vital data set for understanding the nature of the labour market. It categorises and classifies all occupations based on skills in Australia and New Zealand. Created in 2006, it now covers 1,076 occupations, from acupuncturists, blacksmiths and cartographers, to wool classers, youth workers and zookeepers. Over time, occupations change. Just as ANSCO 2006 updated prior occupational coding systems in Australia and New Zealand, it itself eventually needed an update. Bringing it up to date in 2024 was set to be a significant task. Just think about making a discrete list of the key tasks in your job and multiply that by more than 1,000 jobs across the economy. And that's why the Australian Bureau of Statistics looked to artificial intelligence to help to create a preliminary list of tasks undertaken in each occupation. And I figured since we're talking AI, we may as well have a ChatGPT-generated image up on the screen at the time. ABS data scientists gave ChatGPT a comprehensive prompt of over 480 words based on the existing publicly available ANSCO. And that helped the AI to generate its output in the right format and style. ABS analysts spent time testing and refining the prompt, or the questions they asked ChatGPT, so the machines delivered what the humans needed. After each test, the analyst used a mathematical formula to calculate the quality of the responses within tolerance levels around precision and recall. The ABS data scientists iterated the prompts until they consistently produced a high-quality output. The final prompt ended up optimising the output from ChatGPT to about 69% for both precision and recall. Results were of such high quality that in one test, ANSCO analysts themselves were asked to distinguish between the description of occupational tasks written by analysts and those written by generative AI. Two-thirds got it wrong. The results from ChatGPT weren't perfect, but they did provide enough of a starting point for ABS analysts to review and build on. As a result, the project team saved approximately 1,600 hours. It amounted to an approximate sevenfold return on investment. Throughout, ABS data scientists were clear about the purpose of the exercise: to use generative AI to support, not replace, human analysts. All outputs were evaluated against four criteria: quality, ethics, legality, and security. This meant that AI outputs were correct, maintained privacy, did not break intellectual property laws, and vitally, maintained the place of humans at the centre of decision making. This delivers on our government's commitment to fostering an innovative culture in the Australian public service, while managing the risks of emerging technologies. This low-risk project is a promising example of how generative AI can be applied to national statistics, enhance productivity, and develop related skills and capabilities in safe and responsible ways. It'll help to pave the way for further ABS adoption of AI technologies. The ABS is also at the forefront of harnessing digital technologies to build high-quality big data sets. By collecting weekly supermarket scanner data from private companies, the ABS is able to gather granular insights about household inflation and understand how the economy is tracking. Now that's big data. For a moment, close your eyes and try to imagine all the items in Australia that were scanned in a major supermarket checkout over the past week. If it helps, remember that the typical supermarket stocks over 15,000 different products, that there are over 10 million households in Australia, and the typical household shops more than once a week. Well, each of those items scanned last week, including the product purchased, quantity purchased, dollar value, and location of purchase, is logged in this big data set. The ABS has been collecting this weekly data since 2011, so you can only imagine the sheer size of the data they hold. Through this data provision arrangement between private businesses and the Australian Bureau of Statistics, 84% of food sales from supermarkets and grocery stores is captured. And the scale of that data allows for a granular understanding of household consumption, which is essential for compiling estimates of the Consumer Price Index. The ABS is continuing its work to modernise collection methods to gather high quality and granular household spending data. Traditionally, the ABS has collected detailed data by sending survey forms to households and asking them to record every good and service they purchase in a two-week period, using a 28-page physical diary. Now, that process is pretty expensive, and response rates are falling. So the next expenditure survey will utilise a digital diary, much like an app, which will work on any electronic device. And that'll greatly reduce costs and burden, as well as streamlining data processing. Now finally, I promised you a data crunching exercise of my own. I want to show how analysing big data sets with novel techniques can reveal surprising insights. And in this case, I've drawn my inspiration from political psychology. In 2012, New York University's Bernard Beber and Alexandra Sacco published a seminal paper that analysed the numbers in electoral results for various countries. Their starting point was that humans are startlingly bad at making up numbers. When asked to create random numbers, participants have been shown to favour some numerals over others. Numbers ending in zero don't feel random to us, so less than one-tenth of made-up numbers end in zero. Falsified numbers are more likely to end in 1 and 2 than in 8 or 9. So using that insight, the researchers look at the last digit of vote counts in various elections, both in Scandinavia and in Africa. They find that vote counts in the 2022 Swedish election have last numbers that are evenly distributed in 0 to 9. By contrast, in elections held in Nigeria in 2003 and Senegal in 2007, they found anomalous patterns of last digits. Many other researchers have used the tools of forensic electoral analysis, applying them to modern-day elections where fraud has been alleged. So, using the same approach, we can look at Australian elections, starting with the 2002 poll. Figure 1 shows the distribution of last digits in candidates' vote counts across polling places. Naturally, when the vote counts are small, the last digit tends to be lower. So I'm dropping all results where a candidate received 100 or fewer votes. That leaves 21,822 candidate by-election results. And you'll be reassured to know they show a refreshingly uniform pattern. The least common digit is 4, which appears 9.7% of the time. The most common final digit is 8, which appears 10.2% of the time. Now, let's look at a place where we might expect to see more shenanigans. The 1843 Legislative Council election in New South Wales was the first of its kind. Only men who owned land worth more than £200 or more, or who rented a dwelling for £20 or more a year, were permitted to vote. According to the National Museum of Australia, these elections were rough and tumble exercises. Alcohol, bribery, coercion and violence were intrinsic to the process. Men were shot, and the Irish journalist William Kelly described early colonial elections as nothing more or less than pantomime in a frenzy. What can we say about the voting patterns in these early elections? Because there were relatively few contests, we can't analyse them one at a time. So instead, I've tabulated data for the first 16 New South Wales colonial elections, from 1843 to 1887. I'll include both Legislative Council and Legislative Assembly elections, as well as by-elections. Again, I'm going to drop contests in which candidates received 100 votes or fewer, and that'll only leave me with 1,835 results. The distribution of those last digits is shown in Figure 2. With fewer races in the data set, we should expect a bit more statistical noise. But the results don't show marked evidence of fraud. The least common last digit is 0, which appears 9.3% of the time. The most common is 1, which appears 10.7% of the time. Remember what I said before about fabricated numbers tending to have fewer zeros and more ones. You might raise an eyebrow at the difference, but you should probably not raise both of them. Formal statistical tests, a chi-squared test, don't reject the hypothesis that this is a uniform distribution. So, in conclusion, the current revolution in AI and big data and national statistics isn't simply good because it uses new cutting-edge technologies. It matters because it offers the Australian government a way of improving our administrative practices and therefore the way we deliver for all citizens. As I've explored through the examples of the innovative work of the Australian Bureau of Statistics, artificial intelligence and big data can help us to structure and collect data productively, safely and responsibly. And as my election data crunching exercise shows, we can use novel techniques and frameworks to analyse big data sets to discover surprising patterns. The fields of cyber forensics, forensic economics and forensic accounting are deploying sophisticated techniques to identify and reduce fraud and cheating. Big data and generative AI offer opportunities across government to deliver superior outcomes for Australians. Our government remains committed to exploring these techniques within a clear ethical framework. As the NIB knew a century ago, better data helps us to better serve the nation. Thanks very much.